everybody.
Well, here we go with another round of contending for the faith. I hope you're getting something out of all this. I know I am. Bless the Lord. All righty, we're on session 6. We're going to try to run through this as fast as we can. Make sure you get all you need to get, but we're hoping to have you out of here way before 4 o'clock. I was going to go toward 5, but man, I'm going through this pretty fast. It sounds like to me, it seems to me everybody's absorbing it, and man, we didn't lose very many people if we lost any at all. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Okay, so as we were talking earlier, I am not a cloud without water. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm a tongue-talking, devil-stomping, mountain-moving, faith-filled believer. I don't have to be like those who have separated themselves. Why not? The next verse, let's go back over to Jude 19. So why do I have to be like those that separate themselves? Because it tells me, but you, beloved, you who have the Holy Ghost, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Build yourself up above a walk that is dominated by the senses by praying in the Holy Ghost. And so all this morning, in these morning sessions, I was teaching you how to spend time praying in the Spirit to build yourself above your senses. What happens to most people's faith is that when they begin to believe God, their flesh begins to be the enemy that comes against them. Their flesh begins to be the very thing that causes them to give up and turn back. Not that they want to, but because that's just the way the world has trained them. You have something in you that is anti-faith. It's called your flesh. And your flesh will fight faith. Now, it's faith. Your flesh believes in human faith. You know what I mean by human faith? See, human faith is when you came and sat down in that chair, not one of you checked to see if it would hold you up. You assumed that it would. Okay, but if that chair had a crack in one of the legs and you could see it, I promise you, nobody would sit there. Nobody would sit there. See, that's what I call human faith. Human faith has to see something first, whereas faith of the Spirit, it's just all it wants to know is one thing. It wants to know one thing. Did God say it? If God said it, it's a done deal. See, now that'll help you out when it comes to believing for your finances or believing for healing in your body. Your faith only believes one thing. Your spirit man believes one thing. If God said it, it's going to come to pass. And your spirit man is doing everything inside of you to bring it to pass. Okay? The thing is, you got to give it some help. You need to quit allowing your flesh to rise up and begin to contradict what you're trying to do. Amen? Verse 20, it says to build ourselves up. Up where? Above deception and being ruled by our senses. How? By praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's for a moment take a look at this from a perspective of faith. As faith people, what do we believe? We believe that we're not moved by what we hear, what we feel, but rather we believe we are moved by what? What we believe. Correct. That is what we call our creed. We make a statement like this. We take the word of God as final authority in our lives. This is what it means to contend for the faith. When you say the word is the final authority in my life, whatever the word says, that's what I'm going to do. If popularity is against the word of God, guess what? I guess I'm not going to be very popular. And I'm telling you, last night we talked about how Jesus grew up in a home amongst unbelievers. Now, you have to understand this. They didn't know this back then. Jesus had a nature just like his father. His brothers, they didn't have that nature. Are you seeing the difference now? So here it is, Jesus, the way he prayed, the way he acted, the things he did, they were like, he's weird. He doesn't sound like any other rabbi we've ever heard. He talks different. So again, they thought, after a while, they thought Jesus was a little kooky. But he wasn't. He was spot on. The reason why they thought he was weird, because he was operating from the spiritual realm, whereas they were operating from a fleshly realm. Now, it wasn't their fault. They were homeschooled in the wrong home. Amen? For example, what happens when your body says it's sick? Most Christians will take the word of their body over the word of God. All right now. The body is designed with sensory organs that report to your brain, and when it starts to feel bad, it'll automatically tell you what? I'm sick. That's why God designed your body. Now listen, it's no different in the realm of finances. When your checkbook starts getting a little cash, what's your body going to tell you? You're going to be broke. Isn't that right? See, those things are normal. It's just how we've been trained in the world. It's not our fault. It's just the way the world has trained us. But we have to be deprogrammed. Amen? Yes. Amen. The brain starts telling you you're broke. The brain starts telling you that you're sick. This is the way God designed your body to work. But your body should not have the final say. No, the word of God is supposed to have the final word. If you have the spirit, then it should have the final word, and your spirit will always agree with what? Always agree with the word of God. You can never get your spirit not to agree. People tell me, well, I'm full of God. I've been born again, but I commit fornication, or I commit adultery, or I lie, or I steal. There's something wrong there. There's something grossly wrong there. Because unless you've been made different than me, when I do those things, there's something right up in here called conviction. And it's not really in here. It's really on the inside. It just seems like it's coming from there. But the thing is, there's a thing called conviction. I talk to pastors all the time that said, Pastor, I did this and I shouldn't have done it. He says, but I feel so condemned. I said, why do you feel condemned? They think I'm making light of their sin. I'm not. I'll take them over to Romans 8:1, and what does it say? And you know the word I focus on? I said, now, Pastor, slow down. I said, say it real slow. There is therefore when? Now. He says, now. I said, when is now? What does now mean? Now. I said, so when does it mean you don't have any condemnation? 2,000 years ago or right now? And they'll go, well, I guess what you're getting at, it means now. I said, that's exactly what it means. I said, the condemnation is not coming from God. It's coming from your own flesh. See, God will first convict you. And God will say, don't do that. But if you continue to do it, it'll turn into condemnation. That's not God condemning you, because God doesn't have condemnation. Amen. That's coming from the devil. Amen. And so the thing is that we need to understand that the spirit man, it's there to help us. He's there to keep us out of trouble. But remember, the word of God and your spirit never disagrees. The Bible says that in relating to your sickness, the Bible says that Jesus bore all of my sicknesses and carried my pain, and by his stripes I were healed. Now, we used to read it and said, I am healed, but it says, I were healed. Were, past tense. And most Christians, because they're using their natural mind, when they process that, they have a hard time making that connection. What do you mean, were, Pastor? You know what? First thing, tell me, that's not good English. I don't give a rip. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm trying to get a point across to you. I think that's why God chose me, because I ain't trying to impress anybody. I could care less about impressing you. I don't care if you think I'm a hill of beans. Okay, call me the country pumpkin, bumpkin, whatever. I don't really care. The bottom line is, we'll get all that lined up when we get to heaven. For right now, let me help you if I can. Okay? But the bottom line is that the Word of God and the Holy Ghost never disagree. If Jesus bore them and carried them, then glory to God. I don't have to have them. Now, you have the privilege and the right to carry your sicknesses and diseases if you want to. God knows I'm not going to fight you over them. God knows the devil ain't going to fight you over them. It's your decision to make. But the thing is this, you don't have to. You don't have to. If Jesus bore them and carried them, glory to God, I don't have to. Why? Because those who have not separated themselves from the Spirit are totally ruled by the world. See, the thing is, this is why when you contend for the faith, you just can't go the way that most church people go. I found this out the hard way. Not everybody is all in. This room should probably be filled up this morning, this afternoon. But why isn't? Because people are busy. People got lives to live. People are on a track. Is that right? No, that's not right. No, they've been sold a bill of goods. And they're thinking, listen, as long as I'm doing what I should be doing, God is sure not going to let anything happen to me. Wrong. He's already sent Jesus to the cross. It's your work now. Now it's time for you to apply what he's already done for you. And sometimes that takes effort. Sometimes you can't watch TV all day long. Sometimes you can't be on Facebook. Sometimes those things are used to steal your faith, to develop your faith. When I first started this message of diligently praying in the Spirit, there were a lot of things I couldn't do. There were a lot of football games I was invited to. I couldn't go because why? It wasn't because I didn't have the time. Because I had too much in me. And when I saw one of them cheerleaders going down the sideline, I'm going, woo, woo. Well, you can laugh if you want to, but you know you had the same problem. I couldn't watch it on television. I'm like, gosh. I go to a football game now. My wife's kids, they'll take us to a game. And I'm telling you, man, you go to a Dallas Cowboy game, they are everywhere. Those cheerleaders are everywhere. And I got to look this way. I got to look over here. I got to look. I'm like, goodness. For me, let me stay at home with my little flicker. So when y'all start putting that stuff on there, I can go flip and I can go some other channel. You don't have to worry about all that stuff. And don't get me wrong, it's good to watch these games and that kind of good stuff. But my point is that the world knows that's what most men like. That's why they do that. Okay? Why? To keep the world, to keep a hold on you so you won't grow. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we should not be sense-ruled or sense-dominated. The Holy Spirit plays a huge role in our walking out of a place where we are dominated by our senses into a place where the Spirit has declared that you are free. When Jesus said the words, now get this, this to me was a pivotal part of this teaching. Jesus said these words, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Most of us in the past, through our ignorance, separated the words of Jesus from the Holy Spirit and his relationship to it. However, this will prove to be a fatal mistake on our part. In other words, many will say that tongues have passed away and that the word is only needed to be to live a successful life in the realm of the Spirit. Could this be the reason so many of us are so easily defeated in day-to-day challenges? Can you separate water from wet? Can you separate heat from fire? Then any more you can do those two things, you can't separate the word from the Spirit. The Spirit, the letter of the law, killeth. It's the Spirit that gives life. You need the Spirit of God to reveal to you his word. This is not just another book that you buy at some bookstore. This is a book that was written by a living God. And he lives inside of you. And I believe it's in Hebrews. It says the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Through that word, God's able to discern your intentions instantaneously. The moment that you want to pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit starts immediately to generate those tongues on the inside of this, on the inside of you. When you pray in the Spirit, who are you edifying? You're edifying yourself. What are you edifying yourself from or of? From the things that will eventually cause you to fail. See, if you're constantly failing in an area, you need to be edified. If you're constantly failing in the area of your health, you need to be edified. If you're constantly failing in the area of being faithful, you need to be edified. If you're constantly failing in the area of your finances, you need to be edified. In other words, take those scriptures about that particular case and begin to pray in the Spirit and say, God, purge out of me everything that keeps me from walking in victory in that. The word of God is not prejudice. It doesn't care what your gender is, doesn't care what your nationality is, doesn't care what your age is. As far as it's concerned, it is ignorant of those things. The Word of God is the most powerful force on the earth today. And although it's been around for over 6,000 years, it has not lost any of its power. There is a way to approach the Word and with the Holy Spirit that will come alive to you and will stop and silence the devil every single time. It'll also drive out any damnable disease in your body. And you ought to challenge the Word. If you're wrestling with something now, I'm talking about some of the simplest things: high blood pressure, anxiety. One of the things that, how many of you heard about this young man and this young woman? And I say they're young, they're probably younger than I am, but they committed suicide over the last couple of days. Kate Spade and Adrian Bordeaux. And if anybody had it made in the world, them two had it made, man. What was his name? And what did I say, Andrew? Whatever I said, you know what I'm talking about. He committed suicide in the hotel yesterday. Oh my God. That's what we said. Sorry, I didn't mean to shock you like that now. Didn't mean to shock you. But why did they do that?
They didn't have a relationship.
their own flesh drove them to that point. And they said, there's no other way out from this. No other way out from this but death. But listen, I pray that they reached out to God before they checked out. Because if not, they just walked out of the frying pan into the fire, literally. I should make fun of that. I mean, I didn't mean to be. That one just came out of my heart. Well, excuse me. Let me get back on this, okay? Woo! I'm sure. When you receive a bad report from a doctor, let's just say, for example, you receive a negative report from a doctor. Then you go to the Word and find out, and it says this: by his stripes you were healed. You're healed. But here's your problem. You haven't been edified yet. See, this is what happens in most church circles. You know, we can go down to the bookstore, and you can find a promise book. How many of you have had those before? There's nothing wrong with them. They're good to have. But if you think you can go and memorize those verses and commit them to memory and quote them 1,000 times a day, you really think that's all you have to do? What makes that any different than something that a person in the world would do? No, it takes the Spirit of God to bring that Word alive to you, to where you start saying, this is real. This is real. I'm gaining on this. I am gaining on this. I am gaining on this. What? Do all of a sudden the pain leaves, and all of a sudden you start seeing symptoms change? Sometimes you don't see it for a while, but right in here you start getting a confirmation: something's changing. Something's being moved in me. Man, that's victory. You headed your way to victory. See, you haven't given the Holy Spirit the opportunity to remove the things that caused the sickness and disease in the first place. There's something that caused your poverty and lack. There's something that caused your anxiety. There's some things that caused that in the world. And you've got to spend time with God to get rid of that stuff now. Why? Let's just say you're a kind of guy that you believe in God for $1,000 or for $1,000,000 or whatever the case may be. And you never get rid of the problem that caused you to have the deficit of $1,000 in the first place. Well, God gives you $1,000 or $1,000,000. What's going to happen in about 6 months to a year from now? You're going to need the same thing all over again. Well, God doesn't play that. God knows, listen, I've got to change this in you so that you don't have this same pattern going on and on and on. It's just like whenever, let's say a couple divorces and go their separate way. And they think, well, I'm done with that. And then they meet somebody else. Well, you're just going to go right back in that. Amen. Because until you change what caused the first breakup, that thing that's in you is going to create another breakup. People say, well, I don't like my people at work. They just a bunch of heathens. I'm going to leave and I'm going to find me another job. I promise you, when you get your new job, in the beginning, it's going to, like, everybody walks in the Spirit. They're like angels. But Monday morning when you show up, All of a sudden, the devil made an invasion and snatched out them angels and put his guys in place. And all of a sudden, they're going to treat you like you are the worst thing that could ever happen. Why? It's not the people. It's something in you. It's the guy that in Tulsa, Oklahoma, he had a bad neighbor, so he said, I'm going to change neighborhoods. So he bought him a house in another neighborhood, a better neighborhood. When he got there, guess what? The neighbors in that neighborhood was worse than the neighbors that he left in another neighborhood. So he figured, well, I'm going to leave this neighborhood, and I'm going to move way across town. He did that. Guess what happened? The exact same thing. So he figured, when I'm done with Oklahoma, I'm going someplace else. So he moved to Michigan. What do you think happened? It wasn't the neighbors. It wasn't the neighbors. It was him. Now, I'm not saying he didn't have any bad neighbors. What I'm saying is the majority of the problem is with him. Are you getting this? Woo-wee! Praise the Lord. So you got to get out the stuff that put the sickness and disease. You got to be edified. You got to cause the Holy Spirit, you got to allow the Holy Spirit the opportunity to remove those things that cause the sickness and disease. So when you attempt to stand on the Word of God, then when fear, doubt, anxiety begins to rise up, you don't give in to it. Instead, you begin to tell it, you got to go. See, many of you, we talked about, ladies, about do you sweep the floor first or do you mop first? And somebody went, ugh, who would mop first? Well, that's kind of what you're asking God to do. God, heal me of my pain. God, fix my finances before you fix me. And God is no different than you. He ain't going to mop over a trashy floor. He's going to sweep the trash out first and then begin to bless you. Come on, somebody. That's how it works. That's what I've learned. That's how it works. You know, growing up, man, I used to always get insulted. I'm going, why is everybody always insulting me? Why am I the one getting picked on? Well, the devil put that in there. The world put that in there. Now, say whatever you want to say. I could care less. And here's the good thing. Now I don't feel like I have to retaliate against you. I can go over there and love on you and be like, ain't no big thing. One day the Lord told me this. He says, now, son, here's what you got to realize about people that are very intelligent and smart. He said, here's what you got to understand. They ain't that smart, and you ain't that stupid. And I used to repeat that to people. I used to say, hey, you're not that smart, and I ain't that stupid. And they'd be like, what did you mean by that? Exactly what I said. See, many of us think we're all smart because the world made us smart. Because you have a quick wit. You know, you can come back real sharp. And you can say something that real fast. And I'm going, you know, I'm all tongue-tied like, and I've learned, you know what? That means nothing in the kingdom of God. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Can you be quick-witted with the devil? Huh? When he slapped you across the head, what can you do then? What will you do then? See, that tells me how smart you are. And most people that I find that way, that because they rest on their intelligence, they lack a lot of spiritual, what I call IQ. You know what I mean by that? You can be spiritually savvy, and you can be fleshly savvy. Spiritually savvy says, I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do, no matter if it hair lifts the devil. I don't care who it changes. I'm going to do this. And people may say I'm crazy, may say I'm stupid. You know, I remember when I started praying in tongues. Man, this was all I heard. All that pastor knows is by praying in tongues. He don't teach you nothing else but praying in tongues. Well, it wasn't my fault. God told me to make sure I got the word out. It wasn't my fault. He said, don't teach nothing else but praying in tongues. You just teach me to pray in tongues. And I mean, I'm a good soldier. That's what I did. That's what I did. And I got the reputation. All he knows by praying in tongues. And one day I said, surprise, y'all. I can teach y'all more than praying in tongues. But that's the foundation. Amen. Stick around for a little bit. You're going to hear some more stuff. But until you get this, we can't go on. Until you get edified, we can't go on. Well, you got that trash in you? I'm going to start saying stuff. You're going to be going, but Pastor, no, Pastor. Oh, I don't think so, Pastor. That's that trash coming out. That's your flesh rising up. Whew. I'm telling you now. Woo! Let's go. So you attend to stand on the Word of God, and instead of you standing on the Word of God, doubt, fear, anxiety begins to come against you. Instead, what ends up happening is you ask your body, body, how do you feel? And what does your body say? We sink. But now here's this. Now do this. But when you ask the Holy Spirit, or when you ask Jesus, or when you ask the Word, how do you feel? You know what they say? They say in unison, you're already healed. And then you have the audacity to turn right around and call the Holy Spirit and the Word and Jesus a liar. When did I do that? When you walked around and told everybody, I'm sick. I have this and I have that. And I guess God just couldn't heal me of this. Right now, come on. Jesus will tell you, listen, I bore your sicknesses, I bore your sin, I bore your poverty over 2,000 years ago at the cross. See, your prosperity, your healing, your divine health is no longer up to God, Christian. Did you hear me say that, or were you asleep? Amen. It's no longer up to God. It's now, it's up to you. Amen. And most Christians don't like that. No, they don't like that. You have to choose to be edified by the Holy Spirit to overcome your carnality. That's the choice you got to make. You don't have to be dominated or ruled by your senses. In light of these verses, you are not like the cloud without water. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit. The edification process of Jude 20 delivers us from the strife-filled carnal condition described in Jude 19 and enables us to live continuously in Jude 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Folks, if you'll continue to pray, you'll begin to realize God loves you more than you have ever known. He's doing all that he can to solve your problem. He just doesn't have much to work with. He's talking about you now. Oh, how much we have sought God for the elusive increase of our faith. How many has ever asked God that? God, increase my faith. Nah, you ain't going to raise your hand, but I raised my hand for you. Yeah, I've asked God, God, increase my faith. But then do you know what Jude verse 19 says? Build yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. There is a verse all along that gave us a black and white, an ironclad guarantee that we can build ourselves up where? Up above a wall where disease brings us to a standstill. Up above a wall where poverty reigns in our body. Up above a wall where our children that were lost to the world forever. Up above this sense-dominated realm where we are more moved by what we see, feel, and hear than we are by the Word of God. We who have the Holy Spirit don't have to be sense-ruled or sense-dominated. Why? It is through praying in those other tongues. The Holy Spirit will build us up above all that mess. And he will build you up into a glorious, liberated walk of power.